It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
All right. Big day. I saw the story you wrote, Fly the Friendly Skies, Senate votes to blunt air traffic controller furloughs. And I'm thinking, all right, this is pretty good. The Senate made a move on it. They're going to resolve this problem. But it'll never make it through the House, especially on a Friday. Guess I was wrong, huh?
Yeah, this, there are very few things that can get Congress to move this quickly and this, I guess this bipartisanly, but this sure did it. When they started hearing from constituents back home, and maybe even more important is, Congress is out next week. Both houses are out on vacation next week. I imagine a lot of them had their own airplane plans.
Oh, yeah.
This bill, it now is going straight to President Obama. We'll see if he signs it quickly enough to get the furloughs done before before most folks leave on those flights. But more than that, this gives the members of Congress something to actually tell constituents when they're sitting there at the gate with everybody else. They can say, "Look, we just took care of this." So I was trying to figure out what other things, other sequester effects we could think where you could actually get an immediate impact on members of Congress and where they might be able to take action. The one thing we've talked about before, that this is the second of these sequester impacts that they've basically gone ahead and blunted. The first one being something we've talked about, the meat packing shortages that we were afraid
That's
of.
Right, yeah.
Congress, of course, restored all the food inspectors. And so, I guess we're seeing what moves Congress is hamburger shortages and flight delays.
Yeah, I'm wondering who got the most heat, though. You think it was the Democrats or the Republicans? Because someone blinked here, right?
Liberal commentators are pretty convinced that it was the president that blinked, and I think that's safe to say. Republicans throughout this whole thing have their goal has been to try and force the president to have to make decisions about spending, and the president doesn't want to make decisions about spending. For that matter, neither do congressional Republicans. The president says we should just raise taxes, and that way we can cover all of these expenses and not have to cut. Republicans want the cuts, but neither side wants to actually specify where the cuts will come. In this case, though, because of the way that the furloughs happened, Obama basically got outflanked, and everybody on Capitol Hill was going to vote to pass this bill, so he had to accept this. And what the bill does is it makes him cut elsewhere in the Transportation Department to send that money to the FAA. So he'll have to make those cuts somewhere, and we'll actually see what those cuts are. So the Republicans won this round pretty clearly by making the president have to make cuts elsewhere in order to fulfill this.
Mm-hmm. I see where Jay Carney said, hey, it's just a Band-Aid.
Yeah, and just a Band-Aid, and he also said this is a one-time exception. We were not going to do this for every time the Congress feels sequester pain and says, no, we need to change that. I don't know how I guess I can't see exactly something on the horizon that might be this sort of politically popular, but if something else like this pops up, I suspect the White House will probably have to walk back that vow. They may very well have to sign another one like this, because this is one that really was a no-brainer. We should step back a second and say part of the problem here is the way the FAA went about this. They announced the furloughs on Tuesday a week ago, and then the furloughs took effect basically 4 days after that. That gave nobody any chance to prepare. So they did this about as badly as you could think of how to do it, and that's why the administration had to back down, basically because they bungled it so badly.
Mm-hmm. And maybe Americans learned a lesson from this. Maybe if the average Joe makes a whole lot of noise and lets Congress know how they really feel in large numbers, maybe it ultimately makes a difference. In the past, we've heard of constituents causing some noise, rattling some sabers, but never really getting anything accomplished. In this case, it looks like if the president didn't cave, maybe the average American had something to do with it.
Yeah, I think that's true. Now, I guess the difference would be people complain about a lot of things, and Congress generally says, yeah, we want to act on that. The problem is usually you have two different solutions for how to act on it, and Congress stalemates over which of those solutions to take. Mm-hmm. The difference this time around is that everybody in Congress said, yeah, get this out of the way. We're throwing the problem on the president's desk. In times past, Democrats would have opposed this bill, saying, no, we need to make the cuts, or we need to raise taxes up here. It was because the outcry was so bad from the flying public, and members up here were so eager to get out of town but still get something done that even Democrats were okay with throwing this problem on the president's desk and telling him, ah, you deal with it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's gone to the president. Who knows? He might sign it tonight, might sign it at the end of next week after the lawmakers experience a little bad behavior on
Wouldn't
their own.
Wouldn't that be funny?
That would be. It would be. It really would. And, you know, I couldn't really blame him. But anyhow. All right, one other thing before I let you run today, and that is something that you've got your ear to the ground down there, so you kind of hear, you know, what's going on in the background. This story that's been bubbling under all week about congressional types and their staffers somehow working out an agreement to avoid the grasp of Obamacare. What do you know about that?
So it's really complex. What it amounts to is it's not about necessarily them avoiding Obamacare. It's about whether the Congress could pay for part of their premiums, health premiums, just because of the way that Congress is set up and where it falls as a large employer under the health care law. There's a question about what it can actually pay in terms of its employees' premiums. And the big argument is, you know, if you're a well-paid staffer up here, you can probably afford the premiums on your own. But if you're a low-paid staffer making $20,000-$25,000 and your premiums are $7,000 a year, you're probably, you know, that's one-third of your income could go to those health insurance premiums. And if Congress, right now Congress actually pays for those or a large chunk of those, and there's something about the law that would actually, because of the way that people would be forced into the exchanges, it's questionable whether Congress could cover the premiums for the exchanges. And so that may be all be very confusing. The chief issue is that Democrats and Republicans alike, after having seen the story bubble up, first of all said it was overblown, but second of all said they will not be carved out of Obamacare. Members of Congress and their staffers, they vowed, will be subject to being in the exchanges. The key question is, as I said, how they go about paying for those premiums to be in the exchanges.
Yeah, you know what's so funny about that is how many average Americans, you know, outside of Washington are saying the same thing right now, and they have no relief in sight.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand all of the ins and outs well enough to go too deep into this, but I guess the issue is because of the size of Congress, because of what it is, and because of the way that this particular provision was written, it's Congress is in a very particular place here about whether it can pay those premiums. I think for most folks, they actually get the premium support from the federal government. Those are what the tax credits are to be able to join the exchange. And I think the issue is that if you work for a large enough employer, you're not eligible for those premium for that premium support. But you also have to, because these are members of Congress, and the special part of the law requires members of Congress and their staff to be part of this, they have to be in the exchange, whereas a large employer wouldn't put its employees into the exchange. They would actually have to provide coverage.
Wow. I guess they should have read it before they passed it, huh?
Yeah. I think there are a lot of people who are thinking, you know, Max Baucus warned it would be a train wreck, and now the train is apparently about to hit members of Congress and their staff.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Stephen, have a good weekend. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. It's 4:26, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.